have a message titled Maranatha today. Christian faith is eschatological, meaning our faith looks toward the end to come. The Bible speaks the end times and emphasizes that, and clearly states that it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. So the Bible presents us a linear eschatological view, meaning God has started the beginning and the end is coming. God initiated everything and God will bring all to the end and conclusion. Now Jesus, as he ascended after his resurrection, Jesus promised us that he will come back. He will return second time. And there are many, many passages, and I will read a couple passages for you. The promise of Jesus' second coming. Matthew 16, "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." Matthew 24, "For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." Mark 14, "You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." John 14, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." So Jesus, as he promised, he will come back. Now, when Jesus returns, what will be? It'll be end times, the final judgment, the final consummation. And I'll have a couple passages also. Matthew 25, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates a sheep from the goats." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." Hebrews 9, "So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." Revelation 1:7, "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him." Now, as promised, as we read from the Bible, the church is waiting for Jesus' return. Since the Bible testifies this, waiting for and looking forward to Jesus' return is what our lives are. We should never forget or neglect this promise. In fact, waiting and longing for Jesus' return is at the core, at the very essence of the church. The church waits for Jesus. And why is this important in our faith? It is important because the second coming of Jesus marks the conclusion of Christian faith. The kingdom of God, the core of Christian eschatology, simultaneously embodies both the already and not yet. Now, Jesus came 2,000 years ago, and through his first coming, he, in his public ministry, declared that he brought kingdom of God and into this world. So, kingdom of God has already come 2,000 years ago. But at the same time, and with his return, he will finally come again. Jesus will come again a second time, and he will complete the kingdom of God. Not yet. So we live in this sandwich that Jesus, the kingdom has already come, and the kingdom that will come and to be completed. So Ephesians 6:12 and Philippians 3:20 all tells us this fact, that we are longing for this completion to come that has already come by the coming of Jesus. In other words, Jesus' return coming, the second coming of Jesus, is simultaneously encompasses the two themes, the final completion of salvation and salvation through which God intends to establish his kingdom of God, and the final judgment. And that is why the second coming, it is important to Christian theology, and it is important to the church life. That's why the early church, they were looking forward after Jesus resurrected. The early church remained to look forward to the coming back of Jesus. I mean, they eagerly expected. They have gone through some, you know, tribulations, persecutions, and hardships, yet they held on to this belief that Jesus is going to come back and restore us and complete the kingdom of God. Therefore, they were able to withstand all perishments, even as they gave up their, you know, had to lay down their life. Now, many, many people are interested, because it is a clear promise of the Bible that Jesus promised that he will return, and when he returns, the final ending is going to come. And therefore, people are interested, and there are a lot of people who are smart, that thinking logically, and they attempt to calculate with many verses from the Bible in their own ways, and they come up with a certain date. Oh, Jesus is going to come on this month, this year, this time of the year. And he would instigate people, and there would be people gathered and flock, and they'll say, oh, Jesus is going to come at this hour. He didn't come. It turned out to be a lie. There's another people who comes along. Hey, he miscalculated. Hey, Jesus is going to come this year, this month, and this time. And there are other people who come, and they would wait for Jesus, and Jesus didn't come. I mean, did you know that such false second comings have occurred more than 200 times? I don't know if you were born when, but I don't remember. If you remember, 1992, there's a Korean mission called Tami Mission, and they claimed in 1992, October 28th, is the date that Jesus is going to come. Now, I was a young freshman in Moody Bible Institute, and I received a phone call from my dear aunt. My dear aunt, who fell into this dummy, you know, claims, called me, international phone call back in 1992, and he said, hey, do you have any money with you? I mean, you need to send all your money because Jesus is going to come back in, a certain time. That she believed this to be true. And I told her, aunt, that's false. That can't be. Don't put your money into it. Don't give any money. No, that's a false. She didn't listen to me. And she paid a big chunk of her money to as an offering because she really believed this date to be the day Jesus will come. Let me warn you, there will be more to claim certain date, certain time, certain way, or certain year that Jesus will come. And be reminded that I warned you. They are all after your money. They're all lies. Let me tell you again. There will be some people along in your person, in your life, that they will claim Jesus will come back in certain year, certain time, certain month. All 100% lies, only going after your money. My grave concern is because of these repeated lies, Christians will no longer wait or long for Jesus' return. You know, if you hear lies a couple times and you don't begin to believe anymore. Jesus clearly promised his return. And it is a fact that Jesus will return and the end will come. We just don't know when it is. But you know, Jesus clearly taught us, Matthew 24, but about the day and the hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, only the Father. We need to prepare for Jesus' coming. We don't know exactly when, but Jesus told us about the signs of those times. Luke 17 tells us this, that day, as that day draws near, secularism will prevail. It'll become rampant in this world. Everybody into money about secular life, me first life. That would be the end times. 2 Timothy 3 also said that as that day approaches, extreme selfishness will prevail, rampant in this world. It's all about me. What I think, what I believe to be true will be just become so rampant in this world. And that will be a sign of end times. Romans 11 gives us another sign that there will be many, many false prophets. Antichrist will appear. They would increase many, many teachings, misleading false teachings and misleading many, many people. And that will be another sign of the end times. I pray that we will recognize these times and we will see around this world and we'll come to understanding, yes, it has become the near of that end times. We're not far off from that signed times that the Bible tells us. Now, what I want you to bring to attention today is about this. You and I who believe truly that Jesus is coming back and that the end will come, what kind of attitude should we live our daily life? We want to live our daily life as given, commanded by the Bible. But there are people who wrongfully emphasize something and live a off-sided life that is not really pleasing the Lord. So, what should our stance, what should our attitude toward this promised return is our focus today. Now, I want to give you two things. Number one, my way, I'm thinking the world must be terminated. No, it seems that some believers, observing the current state and the world, how things are revolving and happening in this world, and seeing that such a secularism and such a sinful world today that you know, the world is evolving, they conclude that such a world must end. I mean, there's no way this world can be cleansed or sanctified. World filled with sin, filled with injustice, filled with corruption, pain, and they harbor a heart. Wow, there's no way this world can get anything good. Jesus, please come and end, put an end to this, all this wrong and bad things. So Jesus, may your kingdom come, may your judgment come, and may this come, this world come to a quick end. It's a heart that awaits the second coming of Jesus amidst of despair and resignation, wishing that everything in this world would end and disappear. And since there's nothing to expect from this world, and there's no hope, no desire, no expectation, nothing to really wait for this world, simply wait for the day of Jesus to terminate everything. They would plead, Lord, please come. Just end all this. This is unbearable. Because they're living a day in their life, their personal life, in painful, sad, and sorrowful life. And there is no hope that can be found. That's some people's choice to look at Jesus' return. Now, we have read in our passage, there's another way, the Bible way, and that way is a joyful expectation in hope. The Bible clearly teaches us to anticipate joyfully. Jesus will come back. Yes, Jesus will put an end to everything, and to this day, we are to have this joyful anticipation. Why? Because it is a new beginning. Bible demands us a Maranatha faith. Now, this word is used twice in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 16 and Revelation chapter 22. It's not Greek as written in the New Testament, but is an Aramaic. Aramaic meaning, Lord, come quickly. Maranatha. Now, throughout the church, 2,000 years, stating this early church history and all the saints and believers in the church, they long to look at the coming of Jesus, Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly. With an anticipation of joy. It's not a slogan of expressing, you know, pessimism or negativism or resignation, but rather, Maranatha is an excitement. When Jesus returns, yes, it'll be a judgment. It'll be final declaration of everything, putting an end to everything. But it is a new beginning, the completion of the kingdom of God. It has nothing to do with our circumstances, our position, success, our achievements. Maranatha faith waits for Jesus' return to complete everything. This day is the day that all my shortcomings and all my incompleteness will come to a final full completion. This is the day that I will face Jesus face to face, you know, face to face, and be with him forever. This is the day that the Lord will wipe away my tears and no more pain will be in my life. We must possess this faith, eagerly waiting for Jesus' return, and it with an enthusiasm, an excitement, and joyful heart. Yes, when Jesus comes, all this will be over, and I will be with him forever and ever. Jesus is not coming back to settle the score. He's not coming to the sinful, flawed world to finish and terminate. Yes, he will come as a judge. But our focus and attention is not about becoming Jesus being terminating and becoming judge to put an end to all this. But our focus, our Christian focus, is ought to be the day that Jesus comes to fulfill and to bring completion. That's where our life and everyday life attention ought to be. That's where our Bible passage talks about. So in true sense, Jesus is coming to complete the unfinished world. That's where our anticipation, our joy ought to be. We're going to go back to our passage today. In verse 7, it states the end of all things is near. It talks about the end times. And at the end times, what should be our attitude? It talks about three things, a Maranatha life. Between verses 7 and 11, it gives us three commands. Verse 7 gives us, be alert and sober-minded and pray. And verse 8 in our passage, love one another deeply. Number 3, serve one another as good stewards. There's no hint about become blue about coming Jesus' ending. There's no hint to criticize, be alarmed of Jesus' day. The Bible tells us our heart daily attitude toward the coming of Jesus is positive. Positive. We ought to be sober-minded and pray. We ought to love one another. We ought to serve one another. Even if Jesus will come back tomorrow, our life today ought to be focusing on daily life pleasing Jesus. Not like those who would claim, on certain day Jesus come, give all your offerings money to me. Even if Jesus will come and the world will come to an end, we live our daily life to please Jesus by serving others, praying, and to love each other. That's our attitude, our life, whenever Jesus may come back. Positive completion of Jesus' kingdom. So, brothers and sisters, this Maranatha faith is an anticipation of joy. And that's where our life ought to be. Some of you might fear, tremble. Oh no, if Jesus comes, all this will come to an end. And there is fear. Well, you should fear, but don't live a life of fear. The day of Jesus is a completion of unfinished kingdom. It's a joyful day that we will be forever with Jesus. Therefore, even if Jesus will come back tomorrow, Maranatha faith looks to our daily life today. What do I need to do today? I need to pray. I need to love others. I need to serve the other church or other people. We need to do what we are commanded to do, living a joyful life, even if Jesus will return even tomorrow. A Maranatha faith. So brothers and sisters, as a conclusion, there are those who are misled, thinking that they fear the destruction, conclusion, annihilation when Jesus returns. Yes, it will be a day of completion. But instead of being in fear and trembling, live a life of hope. When Jesus returns, I will be with him forever, and I will be comforted forever. And until then, my daily life, even if he will come back very soon, I will devote my life in prayer. I will devote my life to love my brothers and sisters in Christ. I will devote my life to serve Jesus, serve church, serve the community of believers that I am interested with. May we live a Maranatha faith, looking toward with positive outlook and with joyful, hopeful waiting for Jesus in our life. Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, help us never forget that Jesus is coming back. That will be a day that all will come to an end. But instead of fear and trembling, help us to live a life in hope and joy, because it'll be a day that all our sorrow will be gone, our pains and sufferings will be gone. We will be comforted. We will be with Jesus forever and ever. So in our daily life, instead of fear and trembling, may we have this Maranatha faith, living daily life, loving others, loving the church, praying diligently in our life. Thank you. Challenge us and help us to have a rightful attitude in waiting for Jesus' return. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.